verse 31 through 37. And so as we look at this today, Jesus does all things well. Let's take a look at our scripture for this day, if y'all would like to stand, if you're able. And we're going to read this. Starting at verse 31. Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And they took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears. He spat and touched his tongue, then looked up to heaven. He sighed and said, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Immediately his ears were opened and the impediment of his tongue was loose, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Let us pray. Dear God, when we look at these verses, we understand this is a history lesson. This has happened. We get to be there near the shore of Galilee, Lord. We get to be there and see this thing played out because you have recorded in your word. But we also get to understand something more. There are spiritual realities that continue to deliver through these promises of your great power still today. And so, Lord, help us to learn, help us to understand, help confirm in our hearts that you are still the one who does all things well. God, help us to really trust you, to really trust that you are able and there is no problem too big for you. And God, I pray that we would more deeply understand and trust the power of God today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's have a seat. We're going to break this down just a little bit. I want you to understand some stuff here as we look at this. First of all, that Jesus does all things well. And we're going to continue to reiterate this throughout today's sermon, because I want us to leave here knowing that Jesus does all things well. No matter what his answer is to whatever prayer that we ask, whenever Jesus answers that prayer, whether it be yes, and man, we love it when he answers yes. Do I get an amen to that? Whenever I pray something and Jesus says yes, and I get to see, and I like immediate answers. How about the rest of you guys? You like it right now? All right. But here's the thing. His answer isn't always yes. Sometimes he waits to answer. Do you ever experience that? Sometimes the answer is delayed because he's saying, wait, it's not time yet. And guys, here's another one. Sometimes his answer is no. But if his answer is no, we have got to remember Jesus does all things well. He does it all well. Jesus, let's think about Jesus for a minute. Jesus loves the lost. Do I get an amen? Jesus loves the lost no matter where they are. No matter where they are. And as we look at that first verse that we read today, that Jesus loves the lost no matter where they are. Guys, Jesus does all things well. Just like last week, we understood that he had gone to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Guys, I want you to understand, that was a Gentile area. That was a Gentile area. He came to the Jews first. But guys, it was always his heart to draw all people to himself. Even he traveled into this area that was known of as Phoenicia, or at one time the Philistine area, and even above that into Tyre and Sidon, all along that coast. Guys, it wasn't just on his way. He wasn't just living for his own convenience. He was living to seek and to save the lost. Guys, should I say, and I pray that you are feeling this too, it's our cause as Christians. It should be our greatest desire to seek and to save the lost. Now, here's the thing. We can't do it in our own strength, but we can be like Christ and allow Him to do it through us. He went where the lost people are. He went where the lost people were. We need to go where the lost people are. He departed from that region of Tyre and Sidon, and He came through the midst of the region of the Decapolis. Guys, if you understand on a map, those are not on the way to anywhere that He would be going. He went there particularly and especially because His Father sent Him there because there were lost people there who needed to know His love. There were people there who needed help. And so He went from one place all the way on the western side as far as He could go to the Mediterranean Sea. He wound up making a big circle all the way to the other side of Galilee just so He could encounter this man who was lost and needed His help. God will go that far for one. And you know, what we know is, just like with the shoebox, we send it there for the one. It don't just touch one. It touches 5 to 7 or more. We know that. And so it's called multiplication. And so what Jesus does is He goes after that one, and then we see multiplication from that. But He traveled through the midst of the region of the Decapolis, another Gentile area, guys. They raised pigs there. This is where He healed the demoniac guy. And this is where He sent the legion of demons out and into the herd of swine. Guys, this would have been a place that no self-respecting teacher in the Jewish group, no Pharisee would want to just go there unless they absolutely had to go there. But Jesus went there because He wanted to seek and to save those who are lost. He went there because of this one guy. And I'm just going to tell you, the next thing that we want to understand, He loves the lost no matter what, and He also, the next slide, He meets you at your point of need. Jesus does all things well. He meets us at our point of need. I can tell you guys, whenever I cried out to Jesus the night I got saved, I didn't necessarily came to Him just because I got smart and knew I needed salvation. I came to Him because every other option in my life was running out at that point. Can I get an amen? Have you ever felt that way? It's like you're at the bottom and you're thinking, I've tried everything else. Now, everybody's testimony may not be like that, but for me it was. I had tried everything else I felt like up to that point, and nothing else had worked. That doesn't sound very flattering about my relationship with Christ. I would rather tell you, you know what? I knew Jesus was the right way, so I went to Him first. But that really isn't human nature a lot of times. Human nature, because of our flesh, we'll try to fix it ourselves, do whatever we can, do it in the flesh. Is anybody else relating in here, or am I the only one? All right, so then here's the thing. In human nature, sometimes we despise someone because they're weak. Do I get an amen to that? Have you ever felt that way? That you will look down on another person because you see their weakness and they ought to be able to straighten it out themselves. Has anybody else ever felt that way? Well, here's what I want you to know about Jesus. Jesus don't feel that way. He sees our weakness. He sees our point of need, and He uses that as the point. In fact, He's allowed us to get there so that He can use that as the point that He will connect with us on and show us who He is so that He can get the greater good done in our heart, and that is the work of faith. Guys, whenever I cried out to Jesus that night because my relationship with my wife was, I felt like done, I didn't feel like I could continue on another step in the direction that I was going, and it was late at night, and I was absolutely undone before Him, and I cried out to Jesus. I was thinking, fix my life, Jesus. That's what I was thinking, fix my life. I need You to fix my life. And you know what He showed me? If you'll surrender your life, you'll get more than you bargained for. And I said, how do I know I can really trust You? And He gave me the most amazing thing that happened next. And I tell you, this part still confounds me because this is not the answer I would have given me. Jesus gave me the perfect answer. It was better than the answer I was looking for. This is what He did for me. He convicted me of my sin. I thought I was undone until I realized just how bad I'd really offended a holy God and what I was going to have to suffer forever. And you know what? Jesus was showing me, you got a bigger problem than what you even know you have. This guy came to Jesus because he was deaf. They brought him there. And because he had a speech impediment. But I can tell you, Jesus treated that problem so he could treat the bigger problem. And in the process, he was treating the bigger problem in the crowd that was looking too. And that's exactly what he did for me that night. You see, Jesus meets us at our point of need. He doesn't despise us. And if we look here, they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment of his speech. And they begged him. Guys, do you think it's beneath us to beg Jesus? Do you think? I've had people tell me before that it's beneath us to beg. We shouldn't ever take the position of begging. I'm going to tell you guys, we have nothing to offer him back. If you got nothing to offer back, whenever you ask for something, ultimately you're a beggar in need. Guys, if we think that somehow or another we take a high position with Jesus, we got it wrong. Because if you look at what these folks did, they have you ever gotten on your knees to pray before? You know, I mean, I pray driving down the road too, so I'm not always on my knees, right? Sometimes I pray with my eyes open because I pray driving down the road. But you know, sometimes it's just good for us to get down on our knees before the Lord and put our face down and remember our position before Him. Guys, God is perfect. And we are so not. We have nothing to offer Him other than that which He's already given us. So we're offering back that which is His in the first place. And here's the thing. They got down, they begged Him to put His hand on Him. And you know what Jesus said? He said yes. How awesome is that? When Jesus says yes, you know, I mean, like I said, that's the answer we're all looking for. But ultimately, He met that man at the point of his knee because He had a bigger thing He was wanting to give him. I want you to remember something. Whenever they brought this man to Jesus, you know, this man was a created being. They were bringing this man to the Creator. Isn't that an amazing thought? You know, sometimes we got these problems and we think, well, you know, maybe God can't take care of this. Maybe this is just bigger than Him. I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but I want you to know there is no problem too big for God. We got to remember something. Jesus literally created this guy. You know, Jesus literally created each one of you as well. Jesus literally is the one who by Him all things were created, guys. All natural things that exist were created by Him. Everything that's in heaven, everything that's on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, guys, that includes even Satan and the demonic beings. I want you to understand, all things were created through Him and for Him. Jesus is King of the universe. He is Creator. Do you know how grievous it is that in our public school systems today, we won't even mention this? And we wonder why we've fallen so far as a society. Guys, we have forgotten, unfortunately, and even in some churches, we are forgetting. Guys, all things were created through Him and for Him. It all belongs to Him. Do I get an amen? Jesus does all things well. When He created that very man who was brought before Him, He had a good plan for him. Jesus does all things well. And I'll tell you what, the one who created him was just getting ready to heal him. He knew every molecule of this man's existence, and He knew exactly how to take care of him. And I'm going to tell you, what Jesus did was not very politically correct. Especially in the days of COVID-19. Let's go to that next slide and think about this for a minute. The Creator heals the created. Jesus does all things well. And I want you to see how he heals this guy. Okay, how did he create the first man in the Garden of Eden? Can anybody tell me? He took dust. Guys, he didn't even take good dirt. He took the dust. And he formed up the dust, and he breathed life into his nostrils, and the man became a living being. Do you realize how intimate and personal and close that is to God? So, the one who created in this manner, look at how in this instance, which he healed people a lot of different ways. He could speak it, he could think it, he could touch, or they could touch him. But in this particular time, he gets downright personal. And I'll tell you, what I think he was showing us is he is still the creator. He took him aside from the multitude. He put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. He does all things well. You know, sometimes, guys, I'm just going to tell you, when you get involved in a person's life and you are there and you're kind of getting into their personal life, and I'm just going to say discipleship requires this to some degree. Do I get an amen? We are called to make disciples. And when we go to make disciples, it means we're going to have to get personally acquainted with the disciple that we are working with. And sometimes God puts us in situations where we've got to get acquainted and involved in areas that are going to almost feel uncomfortable. Whatever he tells you to do in that moment, whatever he puts in your heart, please don't tell him no. He was proving something to us here. There isn't this rule book over here that you pick up on how to heal a deaf man and help him with a speech impediment. You know, it was the same way with the blind guys. There were three blind guys in the Bible that were healed, and he healed every one of them in a different manner and method. What we need to do, he wants to heal people today. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but a whole lot of people are hearing the same things, and they're coming out with something different out of it. Have you noticed that? You know, they'll be hearing one person speak, and they hear something that sounds magnificent, and you're sitting over there thinking, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard in my life. And they'll hear the call of God in their life, and they're like, I didn't hear anything, and you're thinking, how could you not hear it? I'll tell you why. Because just like this man was physically deaf, there are people today who are spiritually deaf. Do I get an amen? I was one of those people. I tried reading the Bible, and it was all in Greek to me still. But after I got saved, I realized it's been translated. You see, we need the Holy Spirit to help translate it for us. And there's people that are spiritually deaf, and I can say Jesus can still touch their ears and heal their hearing. And what we need to do is get intimately in their life, if they will allow us to whatever point they will allow us to. And we need to be able to help them in their points of need as best as we can biblically to do that. Now, I want you to understand, we got to stick to the Bible as our guide of how much we can help or how we can help. But here's the deal. We need to be praying the whole time, Jesus, put your finger in their ears and heal their ears so they can hear. And guys, I can tell you, when Jesus heals, he does all things well. Look at how he goes from that point into verse 34. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to them, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Guys, who was he talking to at that point? The man was deaf. But when Jesus speaks personally to a person, no matter how deaf they are, he can make them hear. Immediately his ears were open and the impediment of his tongue was loosed and he spoke plainly. He does all things well. Jesus went from there and he commanded. Here's the thing. Guys, when something like this happens in your life, you're not going to keep it to yourself. Whenever you get to either be healed or you see somebody else truly be healed, I'm going to tell you what you're going to want to do. You're going to want to go out and tell other people about it. You're going to want everybody to know about it. If you're excited about what Christ has done in your life, you will want to tell other people. You know, I've been to a lot of witnessing conferences, and they try to, a lot of times, give you tools that are helpful. They can be helpful. You know, I've learned a lot of good tools on how to witness to other people from witnessing conferences or clinics or classes or things like that. But I'll tell you the one thing you cannot give another person, and that is the desire to witness to another person. Here's the thing. I'm thoroughly convinced on this. If Jesus has done something really awesome in your life, you're going to tell other people about it. And if you're not telling other people about it, it's because maybe you haven't recognized just how awesome the things are that he's done in your life. And so it's my aim and goal as the pastor of this church or the preacher to try to do everything I can to encourage you to take one good look at how awesome the things are that Jesus has done in your life and appreciate it. To have spiritual eyes to see it. Because I'm going to tell you, when you're excited about it, you're going to tell other people. You see, even in this situation, it wasn't time for everything to be revealed, but ultimately, Jesus couldn't be hidden, guys. If you look, he does all things well, and he does them so well that it couldn't be hidden. He commanded them at this point because it wasn't time. A lot of people think this was reverse psychology, but that wasn't it. He had such crowds following him around that he couldn't even move. And so at this particular time in the situation, it was better for them not to say a whole lot. But he's telling them, tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. You know why? Because they'd seen a miracle, they knew it was a miracle, and they knew he did it, and they were so excited about it that they couldn't stop telling people. Guys, take a good look at what Jesus has done, because you know what? He does all things well. Take one look at, you know, do you have children? Look at your children and realize Jesus created them. Jesus put you together. Jesus put them in your life. They are a blessing. Realize that's come from his hand. How about that neighbor that you're reaching out to? How about the neighborhood that you live in? He placed us there. How about this church that he's brought us together to be a family in? He's done this. He does all things well. How about your very own salvation? Guys, I want you to know, if you're saved, that is the most awesome gift that you could ever receive forever in heaven with him. And I can tell you one thing, you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. I'll tell you what we deserve is hell. We have all sinned and fallen so short of his glory. But he knew that. He went to the cross and died for us. He does all things well. And I want you to be so excited about it that even if I said, don't you dare speak about Jesus this week to anybody, that you'd just do it all the more. Because you're excited about what he's done for you. I'm going to tell you, the night he saved me, I'm never going to get over it. I'm going to spend eternity enjoying the thought that Jesus reached down from heaven and pulled me out of hell. Because I was hellbound, and if I would have drawn my last breath right then, I know where I'd ended up. Look at what they say in that next verse. So he's saying, don't tell nobody yet. They're telling everybody all the more. Jesus does all things well, guys. Look at what they said. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Guys, Jesus raises the dead. Jesus gives life to dead people. And there are so many people who are dead in their trespasses and sins today. They need their ears opened. They need their eyes opened. Just like he helped the blind to see, the deaf to hear, he will do the same for the spiritually dead, the spiritually blind, the spiritually deaf. We need to pray. And we're going to stop and pray right now. Dear God, I pray and I thank you, Jesus, that you do all things well. You do everything perfectly. You are perfect in every way. And Lord, I pray that you would perfectly begin to open the eyes of the blind in our area, open the ears of the deaf in our area, open their mouths, loose their tongues to be able to speak and to be able to praise you. Speak out praises to God for what you have done. Lord, I pray for an explosion of evangelism, an explosion of true salvations. Lord, maybe it just needs to start right here in this building today. Maybe there's somebody who came in here today and they wasn't sure what they were looking for, but what they have found is the knowledge and the information, and you are opening their heart and their mind to be able to understand that you died for their sins. That, Lord, they are a sinner and they are destined for hell, but you came to pluck them out of that and to give them an eternity in heaven. That though they couldn't pay for their sins, because we deserve death because of our sin, but Lord, you lived the perfect life and gave your life on the cross for us to pay for our sins. Then you were raised again on the third day. And Lord, all who believe in you and trust you as their Savior, come under the protection of your blood. Come under the protection of your perfection. And Lord, that we, because of what you have done, can be in heaven with you forever. And Lord, we don't have to wait till then to receive the joy of our salvation. As soon as we receive it, Lord, we can start living that joy right then. And Lord, the whole world seems to be spinning out of control right now. And it seems to be falling apart. But Lord, we know that you're still the King, so I must believe by faith that the pieces are really falling into place. God, you're going to bring about a revival through all the things we've been seeing. You're going to bring about an awakening, but it's got to start in the church. So, Lord, revive us now. Lord, if there's anybody here that just needs to surrender their heart to you and to salvation, let it be today. Put the faith in their heart. Help them to believe that you are truly the way and the only way. And God, from that point on, let us proclaim the salvation of the Lord to everyone that will listen. Open their ears so they can hear. Open their ears so that they can hear, and their minds that they can understand. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys want to have a song?